It's episode 600 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. On today's show, I'm talking about how fantastic Martin Perez has been this season and what the Rangers should think about doing with him at the trade deadline and moving forward. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, host in 4 years of this podcast, 600 episodes. Thanks to, genuinely, to all of you who have listened over the years. Just kind of amazed that I've made it 600 episodes. But, you know, I am Bryce Paddock, if you don't know me, I am a 12 years now, cripplingly addicted Texas Rangers fan, host of this podcast. Thank you all so much for making this your first listen of the day. Today is Tuesday, May 24th. Your Rangers are at 18-22, still on their off day, coming off a series loss in Houston, still sitting pretty at third in the American League West. Thank you all for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. If you're not already, you can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick and follow the show at Locked On Rangers. And the best way you can help the show get 600 more episodes is to subscribe on YouTube and comment anything below. Comment, the Rangers are going to sweep the Angels again. It's going to be super embarrassing for them. And then they're going to sweep the A's, or you can just say, I like your hat. You know, just whatever you're feeling, as long as it's pretty nice and not personal, you know, I enjoy it. But on today's show, I'm talking about how fantastic Martin Perez has been and what the Rangers should do with him moving forward. Now, this was, well, at this point, it's looking like the best move for the Rangers offseason. Well, no, they do have Corey Seager locked up for 10 years, and Cole Calhoun is locked up for another year, and he has also been amazing in last month. But Martin Perez has been absolutely outstanding for the Texas Rangers. They signed to a one-year deal, one of their first moves right after the lockout. I think it might actually been their very first move, or I can't remember if they traded Isaiah Kiner-Falefa before that for Mitch Garver. But anyway, either way, I was not excited about the move at the time. I thought, you know what, sure, fine, he'll eat some innings, he'll be a veteran. But I didn't think of him in the context of the exact type of pitcher the Rangers have had success with in the past. The last few years, I've said it probably a billion times over the last like 3 years, that the one thing the Rangers did well when they were being absolutely terrible, besides turn Joey Gallo into an absolute superstar and find Adolis Garcia on the scrap heap for nothing and turn him into an all-star, is redevelop these kind of older pitchers that were once top prospects and have kind of washed out in the big leagues, just been average to mediocre, and they turned them into all-stars, top five Cy Young finishers. They did it with Lance Lynn, they did it with Kyle Gibson, well, not top five Cy Young finisher, but still really dang good pitcher and an all-star. And they also did it with Mike Minor as well. Not all of them have worked out. I mean, Jordan Lyles was, you know, fine for them, and he's actually doing pretty well. He actually just beat the Yankees last night. That game I watched quite a bit of, because there's like 18 different former Rangers, between the Orioles having a bazillion former Rangers and the Yankees now also having a bazillion former Rangers. But Martin Perez is that exact kind of guy. He was a former top prospect, a guy who didn't quite live up to the hype, was kind of mediocre with the Rangers, was mediocre with the Twins, mediocre again with the Boston Red Sox, and fell out of their rotation. And he's 31 years old, like right about the age. Same with John Gray. Both of these guys, I didn't really think of in this context, but they're both pretty much that exact type of guy who were former top prospects and in their, you know, 28 to 32 range. And the Rangers have done a great job of turning those guys around. And they've done the exact same thing with Martin Perez. I'm a little surprised they only signed him to a one-year deal. It was $4 million. But he has outperformed every bit of expectations. It was a slow start for him. He was kind of injured in spring training, so he didn't come in and start that first series. So it took him a little while to get there and get healthy with the Rangers. But since those first two starts that were a little shaky, he has been phenomenal. Even if you include those starts in his numbers, he is still one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. He's top 10 in a bunch of different categories in terms of Major League Baseball. In pitcher war, he is 8th at 1.7. His ERA of 1.64 is 5th in all of Major League Baseball among qualifiers. ERA plus is 2.34, which is also 5th among qualifiers. His FIP, fielding independent pitching, which only takes into account strikeouts, home runs, and walks. He is 8th, which is amazing. That is a huge key for him, is not walking a lot of guys, even though he has given up quite a few base runners. He's done a really good job working around them, and he has not given up a single home run. He's only one of two pitchers in all of Major League Baseball, again, among qualifiers, that has not given up a single home run. I believe Michael Kopech of the White Sox is the other one. He's also top 10 in adjusted pitching runs. He's 9th adjusted pitching wins at 1.2. He is 8th base out runs saved, 13.42, which is 6th. That's basically how he does with runners on base in terms of not letting them score. That is something he's been really good, because he's not top 10 in whip. He is still allowed the occasional bloop single and the occasional walk, which will happen when you're not a guy with primo stuff that's striking a bunch of guys out. He knows who he is, and he is pitching very, very well in that role. Win probability added at 1.6. He's 8th. He's in the top 8% of baseball in expected ERA, expected WOBA, expected slugging, and barrel percentage. Now, what does all that mean? That means that he's not getting lucky with these things. His regular numbers, his ERA, and things like that, those are real. There's no mysticism behind it. There's no, guys are hitting it really, really hard and just happening to be hit right at fielders. No, guys aren't barreling him up. They don't know where he's going. He knows exactly where he's going. He is painting beautifully on the corners. He's having some real control, as were a lot of Rangers pitchers, a lot of Rangers starters, and you know, some of the other ones are still having some issues with hitting their spots. But trust me, the way you know the pitcher is hitting their spots is, first off, all the pitchers are like right on the four corners of the zone, which he is dialing those up perfectly. Also, watch where the catcher sets up his mitt, and if the ball hits him right in the mitt, or he doesn't have to move very much, that means they hit exactly where he was trying to throw it, and that's the sign of a good control command pitcher, and that is what Martin Perez has been so far for the Rangers this year. But they've only got him for 1 year, and while they are third in the American League West, there's still quite a few games out of even that third wild card. There's a lot of really, really good teams this year. I mean, the Yankees, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Boston's looking like they're turning around. The Twins have been fantastic, and the White Sox are still, I think, 5 games right now behind them in the American League Central, which I did not see coming, especially when they decided to trade Mitch Garver and Josh Donaldson. But, you know, they go and sign Carlos Correa, and Byron Buxton has been healthy, and their pitching has been pretty good, and the rest of their lineup's been pretty good. So they're very much in the thick of it. The Astros are 27-16, which the second best record in the American League, unfortunately. The Angels are 26-17, just one game behind those guys. So the Rangers are still below 500. They're 4 wins below 500. If they get 4 wins in a row, that's what it'll take for them to get 500, which is about where they're looking for this year. So they're still a ways off from competing, but I think re-signing him, not trading him, might be the move. We're going to look at what this pitching staff will look like next year if the Rangers decide to sign him to a long-term deal. But first, I want to tell you guys about BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one spot for all of your sports betting needs and info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments in this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, even next season NFL futures. You know, you can bet on the Mavericks to maybe take one game tonight in game 4 as you're listening to this. But BetOnline is your continued sports source for all of your sports wagering information, live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Thank y'all so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. For your next listen, make that the Locked On Now podcast. Recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's take a little bit of a look at what this rotation could look like next year if the Rangers re-signed Martin Perez to a long-term deal. By the way, putting into context that complete game shutout, the last time he had a complete game shutout was in 2014. which was a super weird year for him. I don't know if you remember this. He only had 8 starts that year, and two of them were complete game shutouts. He did them back-to-back starts against the White Sox on April 18th, and then on April 23rd at Oakland, he shut them out, only allowed 5 base runners in that one, only allowed 4 in the game before. And then the game before both of those two, he went 8 shutout innings against Houston and only allowed 8 base runners, which was kind of crazy that he finished the year with a 4.38 ERA when he had 3 starts in a row of 9, 9, and 8 innings of shutout baseball. But he was kind of bad for the rest of those, and he also got hurt for the rest of that year. So just a weird year for Martin Perez looking back at that. But this year he has been so stinking good. Looking at his first 2 starts were not great. He had 4 innings in both of those and 3 earned runs, 4 total runs in the second one against the Angels. But since then, he went 6 shutout innings against Oakland the very next start. His last start in April went 7 innings, only allowed 1 run against the Astros. In Philadelphia, he went 7 shutout innings. Then he started against the Royals, had that weird game where he allowed 4 total runs. 3 of those were unearned, and only 1 earned run in 6 1/3 innings, then 6 innings of 1-run baseball against the Red Sox in the only win the Rangers had in that series, and then this last complete game shutout against Houston. He has been fantastic. He's got a 164 ERA on the season, which is top 5 in Rangers history through their first 8 starts of the season. He has been absolutely nails, and he has been one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. But he'd have a lot of value at the trade deadline. And there is a thought that maybe you could trade him to a contender for the back half of this season and then try and re-sign him next year. But with how he's pitching right now, I think you try and lock him up to a 3, 4, 5, however many years you can get him on a deal. Because again, he feels like he's older, but he's only 31 years old. He just turned 31 on April 4th, right before the season started. It's kind of insane that he's been in the big leagues for 10 years, but he came up so young and he is pitching at the peak of his powers. Now, is he going to have a sub-2 ERA at the end of the season? I don't think so, but he's still, these are legit starts. We are 8 starts into a season. Usually you get 30, 32. So he's nearly a third of the way into the season, and he has been absolutely annihilating anybody who comes to face him. So he would be one of the best pitchers on the trading block right now. Most of the top pitchers are, there's not a whole lot of top pitchers that are on non-contending teams. I mean, the A's have a couple guys that I think might be on the trading block for them. I mean, Blackburn has been fantastic for them. That is Paul Blackburn. He has been fantastic this year, has a sub-2 ERA at 1.98, and has had a 1.8 WAR season and 8 starts for the Oakland A's. Another guy who is a righty, kind of a crafty righty, if you will. But and they also have Frankie Montas, who hasn't been great this year, but has a track record of being really good. So Martin Perez would be one of the best guys on the market. And if you could convince him, like, hey, we're going to trade you a contender and then re-sign, then maybe you think about doing that. But again, there's not a whole lot of people in AAA, there's not a whole lot of prospects that are, you know, on the verge of coming right up and doing well. I mean, there are some, but they're not performing well right now. And so I'd be taking a huge bet on some of these guys to come up and, you know, turn around what has been a pretty shaky season for Rangers pitching prospects in general at the top end. But their rotation next year, if they re-sign Perez to a 1-year deal or a long-term deal, which I think he's definitely going to command a long-term deal, and if you don't offer him at least 3 to 5 years, then I don't think the Rangers are going to get him. Somebody else is going to come up and swoop him, come in and swoop him up. But you'd have Martin Perez, John Gray, Dane Dunning, and then I think Cole Wynn would be the number 4 at that point if you don't sign anybody else. And then the number 5 role would be a bunch of different people fighting for it in Taylor Hearn, Cole Reagans, Glenn Otto, AJ Lexi, maybe Spencer Howard, maybe Jack Leiter. I don't know. He has been real hit or miss this season. He's only gone 4 innings or more in 2 of his starts this season. But again, he is really young. I thought he'd be dominating a little bit more at this point, but he's figuring a lot of things out. I don't think necessarily the super aggressive, everything goes right for him option is still an option for him to make his major league debut at the end of the season because the Rangers try and call him up to help them win games. I don't think that's going to happen through, what, seven starts, I believe? So it's only seven starts for him this year, but they haven't gone super great. So I don't know. The Rangers are going to be cautious with him, as they should. They were aggressive in starting him at AA. I don't think they're going to send him down or anything because he's not overmatched by these guys. He's just having a couple not great starts. He's working on a whole lot of different things. So I don't think that that best case scenario is available for him to come up at the end of the season. But there's a few other guys that are, you know, on the verge that have not been performing really well. Let's look at some of the minor league guys and what they have been doing so far this season. In terms of pitching, it has not been ideal for the Rangers starting pitchers in AAA. Cole Wynn has been not great. I talked a little bit last week with Grant Schiller about what Cole Wynn has been doing and why his numbers have been so inflated. The walks are a huge, huge concern at this point. He didn't have any walk problems last year, which is great. We love to see it in AA. Granted, it was a down year for AA, but he was still a 21-year-old in AA, and he'd had walk issues in 2019, and last year they kind of resurfaced. That was not something that he had before when they were drafting him. He was a big, really great control guy, and so the walks were a big concern, but he was part of that deload program. This year, they're back. He's got a 5.94 ERA in 8 starts, 36 innings, only struck out 24 and walked 23. That is not great. 5.9 strikeouts per 9 and 5.7 walks per 9. Jake Latz has been probably the best starter in AAA, and he has not been super great. Got a 4.79 ERA and 17 walks and 39 strikeouts in 35 and 2/3 innings. That is 4.3 walks per 9 innings and 9.8 walks per 9. The strikeouts are nice. The walks are super not nice. AJ Lexi has also been not great. He's got 27 walks, 6.3 per 9, a 6.57 ERA in 9 starts, 38 and a 1/3 innings. He does have 39 strikeouts, so it's fine. It's fine. But there's not a whole lot going on there at the AAA level. And then you look at AA, and, you know, there's been a lot of great moments for Jack Leiter, but things have kind of gotten out of hand for him just a little bit. He's got 4.1 walks per 9, which is among the best of the starters at in Frisco. Only Cole Reagans has been better at 3.6 walks per 9, who's also striking out 11.6 per 9, has a 2.83 ERA in 35 innings. Loved what I've seen from him, but he has given up 6 home runs in 35 innings. That's a home run and a half per 9. Not great, not really what you're looking to see, but that's been pretty much the only problem with him. I think he's going to be the first one called up to AAA, but there's not a whole lot of guys in high A that are, you know, really, really knocking on the door in terms of the starting pitchers. Owen White has a 5.08 ERA and has been a little better with the walks, 3.5 per 9 and striking out 12.6. Again, it's just kind of a lot of not great stuff. Coming up, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. There are some guys, including one of the guys in Hickory, who have been absolutely crushing baseball. Another guy in a couple other guys in AA who have been crushing baseball. And I want to get into that and take a little bit of a look at this upcoming series against the Angels. But first, I want to tell you guys about Athletic Greens. Our partner, Athletic Greens, has a product that I use literally every day. I started taking AG1 because, you know, I wanted to take care of my gut health, get, you know, all these vitamins and nutrients. I'm not really great about cooking for myself or, you know, buying vegetables. So this is a great way to get some of those things that I should be getting in my diet and, you know, should be getting otherwise. But, you know, Athletic Greens makes it super, super easy. There's 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous systems, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All things that you would want to take care of. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all these different supplements for yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health, and your arm and your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and cup of water per day. Like, that's it. It's really, really easy. There's no need for a million different pills and supplements. to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLBnetwork. That's, again, athleticgreens.com/MLBnetwork to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutrition. So let's take a look at some of these guys on the prospect side who have been absolutely crushing it. Trevor Hover, I believe. Trevor Hover is one of the guys who was in the Joey Gallo trade, and he has been absolutely crushing it this week. He was named to MLB Pipeline's Team of the Week. He put up a slash line of 500, 609, 1278 in five games, 9 for 18 with four home runs, two doubles, 10 RBI, five walks to one strikeout. This guy has been crushing it on in terms of the walk side. He has been putting up some pretty darn good numbers there. But again, we're like, okay, we get it. You're 23 and in high A. Like, we get that you have a pretty advanced approach and you're going to walk a whole lot. I want to see if you can mash, because you are pretty much a left field slash second base, so basically just DH only guy. So you got a freaking mash. He is a left-handed bat who has been crushing it as of late. He's got 29 games under his belt so far this year, and he has five home runs. I believe, like I just said, that four of them came, four of his five home runs on the season came this week. But again, he's got some pretty impressive numbers. His batting average was under the Mendoza line, but now it's all the way up to 237. He's got an on-base of 402. Love to see that. And his slugging is up to 430. That is something that we love to see. The approach is very, very advanced. That's nice. I'm assuming that he'll be one of the early ones to see Frisco with a bump pretty soon. Also, Aaron Zavala is a guy who is 22 years old, so a little bit younger than him, but had a very similar profile. Pretty much cannot play the outfield. Might be a little bit worse defensively than Hover. I haven't seen either of them, so I'm not entirely sure. But he's a guy who has walked a crap ton. He has Aaron Zavala in 33 games, 156 plate appearances, has 442 on base percentage, 400 walks. It's only 33 walks, but that's still a lot, and he's only got 26 strikeouts. He has three home runs on the season. His slugging percentage is all the way up to 400 now. That is an 842 OPS. Also, again, Evan Carter. Really daggum impressive, playing a lot of center field. He's 19 years old in high A. That is incredibly impressive, and he's putting up fantastic numbers. A slash line of 308, 381, 508. The power numbers are starting to show themselves a little bit more than they did last year. He's had a little bit more time to put on some weight in the offseason. He's getting a little bit older, getting a little bit bigger. 31 games, 148 plate appearances. He has four home runs, which are, I believe, fourth on this team. He has four triples, which lead the team, and six doubles. The guy has been crushing it. 15 walks, 21 strikeouts. Those are the numbers you kind of love to see. On the base paths, he's been very, very aggressive, but a little bit reckless, I think. Seven stolen bases to five caught stealing. The five caught stealing is by far the most on this team. Pretty impressive stuff from the guys there in Hickory. Also, Luis Angel Acuna, who is listed as Jose Acuna, who is 20 in high A, crushing it in 12 games, has an on-base of 388, slugging 524, and a 912 OPS to lead all hitters there in Frisco. There have been another couple of guys who I've talked about a little bit before who have been absolutely crushing it. Chase Lee has still not allowed a single earned run in 15 games, 17 innings. He's got 21 strikeouts and 7 walks. I'm sure they'd like that walk number to come down. He's got more walks per 9, and I guess walks in general, than he does hits per 9 innings. 3.7 walks per 9, 2.7 hits per 9, a whip of .706, striking out 11.1 batters per 9 innings. Only three save on this even though he's finished off just 8 games so far this season. But again, pretty impressive stuff for the Viper. Other guys that are doing pretty well, like I said, Cole Reagans is doing pretty well. Lucas Jacobson, the big left-hander, has a sub-2 ERA. And hitting-wise, it's Justin Foscoe and Ezekiel Durant who have been absolutely destroying baseball so far. Both of those guys have been doubles machines. Ezekiel Durant has 18 doubles, which is the most in all of professional baseball at this point. He's also got 6 home runs and 917 OPS, playing a whole lot of shortstop, a little bit of second base. and has not seen the outfield just yet. I'm a little surprised on that part. I would like to see him in the outfield a little bit more. There's more space for him. I don't think he's going to necessarily displace Corey Seager at shortstop, but he is, the bat is looking like it is very much good enough to be an everyday player. There's someone who asked me, what's the harm in him being called up early and sticking him in left field? I think we've seen the harm in what it did to Leody Taveras, who, by the way, after a scorching first month, has come way, way, way back down to earth and has not been nearly as good as he was in that first month. So again, me saying I wanted to see him do it for at least like 2 months before the Rangers call him up and give him an everyday position. And it's looking like that might be a little while before they do that, which is nice because Cole Calhoun started raking. Maybe he like sucked his powers what's the Space Jam style from Leody. Cole Calhoun did it that way because they were thinking about maybe they did part ways with Cole Calhoun after his horrible first month, or at least I was thinking that. And so Leody was crushing it. And so the thought was, okay, well, they move it all to right field. See what they do with Cole Calhoun, and Leody comes up and plays every day center field. That's not going to happen for a little while. But anyway, Ezekiel Duran has a .356 on base and has been crushing it. Justin Foscue has a .961 OPS. He only has 2 home runs this season, but again, 13 doubles, and has exactly as many walks as strikeouts, 18 and 18, and on base of .422, and slugging .539 will freaking play. Blaine Crim has a .900 OPS and on base of .364. 8 home runs, which lead the team. You absolutely love to see that. And Dustin Harris, after a pretty subpar first kind of month of the season, has been crushing it so far in 34 games, has an OPS over 800, but it has been much, much better the last 7 days. He's got 4 games under his belt in that point. He's got 3 home runs in his last 4 games, an on base of .333 and slugging .800. Look at his last 28 days. That's 20 games. He has 6 home runs, on base of .355 and slugging .506. That is more the Dustin Harris that we have seen. Excuse me, 6 home runs in those 20 games. That is the Dustin Harris that we know and appreciate and think will continue to mash and mash and mash. So that is pretty much all you need to know about the Rangers minor leaguers. There's a couple guys, actually, that I wanted to mention very, very quickly, including Mavris Viloria, who is a catcher from Colombia who has been in AAA for the Rangers this season and done very, very well offensively. 23 games. This is his first season with the Rangers. He was with Kansas City in 2020 and 2021, so this is his first year in Texas, but 95 plate appearances, got an OPS of .959, slugging over .500, and on base of .453, has just 2 home runs, but 7 doubles, 15 walks to 19 strikeouts. Those are the numbers to keep an eye on. I don't think that he's going to replace Sam Huff as the Rangers' top catching prospect, but again, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Another guy that the Rangers keep an eye on is Josh Smith, who has been crushing it as of late, playing a lot of third base as we would expect, and over the last 7 days has been smashing. .357 batting average in the last 4 games, and a .524 on base and a slugging .424. So that's a .952 OPS. Season OPS is up to .777. So I don't know, maybe take a lottery ticket on that one. But playing a lot of shortstop, a little bit of center field, and a lot of third base as well. So we'll see if the Rangers think about calling him up pretty quick. Nothing overwhelming. We'd still like to see him hit the baseball a little bit harder. We know he's got that good plate discipline. And one last guy that I want to mention who has done very, very well, Alejandro Ozuna, a guy who is 19 years old from Ahome, Mexico, and in down east so far this year, pretty much the only guy who's really crushing it at this point in down east. 32 games, 132 plate appearances, has a slash line of .348, on base .420, and slugging .539. Leaves the team with 5 home runs, also has 5 doubles, 13 walks to 21 strikeouts, and 11 stolen bases, playing all 3 outfield positions. Really like what I've seen from him so far. But very quickly, we know what we got in the Angels. We got a matchup tonight. It's Dane Dunning versus Noah Syndergaard. And then in tomorrow's game, we have Glenn Otto versus Reed Detmer. So 2 guys that the Rangers have just seen. And again, Mike Trout, I want to take a look very quickly at his Baseball Savant page because it might be the most ridiculous thing I have ever seen. Average exit velocity, 95. Max exit velo, 97. Hard hit, 97. Expected slugging, 100. Expected wOBA, 100. Barrel percentage, 100. Sprint speed, 97. Chase rate, 91. Outs above average, 81. Expected batting average, 92. This guy is absolutely insane this year. Like, we know Mike Trout is incredible, but like, he's just on another level. Taylor Ward is also absolutely on one right now. He's got 9 home runs, a slash line of 370, 481, and 713. That's a 1194 OPS on the season, which I think might be a smidge higher than what old Mike Trout is doing right now. No, they're pretty close. 1133 for Mike Trout and 1194 for Taylor Ward. And Shohei Ohtani's OPS is up to 780, and he's got 9 home runs on the season. And also Jared Walsh has 8 home runs. So, like, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough series. I'm sure the Angels are pissed that they just got swept, so they're going to bring it in this series. I am very excited to see what Dane Dunning is going to do. I'm watching every single start of his very carefully because he is a big swing beast. If he can be a legit number 3 or number 4, that it bodes very, very well for the Rangers rotation moving forward. And this is a very tough lineup, and it's going to be a big challenge for him. So we'll see how he handles it. Thank y'all so much for listening. On tomorrow's show, I'm going to be talking about this Dane Dunning versus Thor matchup and probably 17 home runs for Mike Trout, but maybe still a Rangers win. Thank y'all for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every day. For your next listen, make it Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully. He takes you through the major leagues, past and present, gives you his unique perspective. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Y'all, thank you so much for listening to however many of the 600 episodes and for helping me get here. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.